Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Brother and sister duo Same Difference hit our airwaves last year with their infectious Shine On Forever photo frame. Sean and Sarah are back with their poptastic new album, The Rest Is History. Same Difference, welcome to Joy 94.9.
Hello, how are you?
We're great, thank you. Now, look, let's go right back to the beginning with you guys for a minute. You grew up in Portsmouth in the UK. When did you both get into music and what made you decide to take the road to pop stardom together?
Well, basically, we've always done music, even as kids. Like, it was just something that we always loved to do. And Sean, when he left school straight away, went on the cruise ships. And I went to a college in London called Italia Conti, which is kind of like a musical theatre school. And we were going to go down the kind of musical theatre route. But then, literally, Sean came off the ships and went into a touring show for a year, and he was so bored, and he was like, I really want to do something other than kind of just do shows all the time. So he went to go for the X Factor, and I just went along for the day out and for the ride. And then when I got there, I just thought, oh my gosh, I actually really have got the bug for this, and I want to join in. And we asked the researchers in the queue if I could join, and they were like, oh, you haven't got a form, you can't really like sing and all this. And I was just thinking, oh, I'm not going to get to do it. And then they said, well, you can enter as a band. And we did, and then the Same Difference was born. It wasn't actually a choice to be a band, but we're very lucky that we did end up going that way.
Now, that was back in 2007. Now, you were mentored by Simon Cowell on the show, and you came third in the contest. The whole experience must have been a bit of a crash course in the music industry for you.
Oh, it was, literally. I think we were thrown in the deep end. I think we became kind of, you know, known straight away overnight, and it just happened. And it was just... We learned so much straight away, just because obviously you're dealing with record people and TV companies, and you've never been in that world before. I was just used to being at college doing my homework, and it was just a completely different world, but it was brilliant.
Now, you brought quite a bit of fun into the X Factor competition with your sort of fabulous camp performances, rather high energy. Was that always your intention, or did Simon Cowell sort of push you in that direction?
Well, when we first went into it, obviously we weren't even going to be a band, but I think he kind of based the whole, you know, image around me, because I was naturally quite more bubbly, and the music that I listen to is your serious pop. You know, I always listen to pop music, I love pop music, but he kind of saw that in me, because every song that I would pick would be a pop song. And I think he kind of moulded the kind of excitable and fun thing around, you know, me at the time. And I think Sean, it was more like who I was rather than who Sean was.
Now, one of the audience favourites of your performances on X Factor was when you did S Club 7 track Never Had a Dream Come True. What was one of your favourite performances on the show?
I really enjoyed doing Never Had a Dream, but I think the one that stands out for me as the song I enjoy performing the most would probably be Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now. But having said that, I think the one that's most memorable and what actually put us on the map was Breaking Free from High School Musical, because it kind of tapped into a niche market that we didn't have before.
Now, Simon Cowell signed you to his label, and you released your debut single, We Are One, the following year. Now, you performed a single on X Factor, but the producers told you to mime. How did that sit well with you?
It was horrible.
Yeah.
We didn't want to mime, and it was something that we were really adamant on, because obviously on X Factor you have to sing live every week, so it just seemed pointless to us that we had to mime. But he really wanted it to sound like the record, and he was like, oh, you know, if you're jumping around and dancing as much as you are, you're gonna sound out of breath and all this. And we were like, no, we did it every week, why are you making us mime? And then it backfired, because literally everybody was just like, oh, they just mime now, when it wasn't our choice in the first place. And like, that's the only time out of literally, you know, all the performances that we've done that we've ever mimed, it just so happened to be one of the biggest performances of our lives, which just ruined it for us.
Now, your debut album, Pop, went gold in the UK, selling over 180,000 copies. Now, it reminded us of classic S Club 7 and Steps. Now, you're working with some really good producers on the album. Most importantly, you worked with Pete Waterman and Mike Stock from Stock Aitken Waterman. What was that like, working with those big names?
Oh, it was absolutely incredible. I remember the first day, we hadn't even got the album at the time, and they said to us, now guys, you're going to go in with Pete Waterman for the day, and he's going to sit there and kind of work out whether you would be suitable to make a pop album. And we thought everything rested on it, and I was really, really poorly on the day, and I remember going to Pete Waterman's office and being absolutely devastated, because I was just thinking, I've blown my chance, because he's this huge record producer and he's just going to say she's rubbish, because I literally had no voice. But luckily he turned around and he said, yeah, I can definitely work with him, and that's how we ended up getting the album in the first place, because Pete Waterman kind of backed us, which is great, and he's been really like fantastic ever since. He's always been a really nice bloke.
Now, one of the songs you covered on that album was Kylie Minogue's Turn It Into Love. Was that your idea, or how did that come about?
Well, literally, at the time, we were working with a guy called Tim Byrne, who used to make Steps. And he said, well, I've got this song for you guys, and it's been massive all over the world, but it's never been a massive hit in the UK. And I think it's one that, you know, deserves the second calling, especially for the UK. And we went, oh, okay, yeah, we'll have a listen. And as soon as we heard it, we were like, this is a fantastic song. And it had been massive worldwide, so we thought, why not give it a go? So we did a little bit of a cover of it, and it was great to actually get to perform a song by such an amazing artist.
And you're now signed with UK label Pop Life. Your last single, Shine On Forever, was a bit of a change in sound, and one that definitely appealed to the audience here at Joy 94.9. At what point did you think, hey, this pop dance stuff is where we want to go? How did the new sound sort of come about, and what's the new record label like?
I think we just grew up a lot. And obviously, when we left Psycho and everything, I think we really wanted to gain our own identity, because they'd made us kind of dressed as like children and things all the time. And it just felt like we wanted to kind of break free from that. And we actually went in the studio and came up with a song called Sold Out. And we weren't signed. It was just kind of off the back of X Factor. The producers, Twig and Topham, who worked with Steps, said they'd wanted to do a song with us. And we did this song, and it was this completely new vibe for us. It wasn't at all what people would say that Same Difference was all about. And straight away, we were like, we love this. And we took it to Pop Life, and they were like, yeah, we want to sign you on the back of this one song. And that was how the new sound was born, because we went in with Twig and Topham, and we worked on Sold Out. And it was weird, because obviously that wasn't our first single, and I think looking back, I think we should have made Sold Out the first single, because it is still my favourite song on the album.
Now, the new album, The Rest Is History, it does sound like a labour of love for you, because you sound really pleased with it. You also work with some really good writers from the past who are part of the Stock Aitken Waterman stable, Pete Hammond, Ian Kuno and Dave Ford, and you also co-wrote 5 tracks on the album. So what was the experience like working on the album different from the debut?
The debut album was given to us. It was like, here's your songs, this is what you're going to sing, these are your producers, and, you know, there isn't much leeway to go either side of centre. It was just, you know, you're going on that road and that's what you're going to do. And at the time, we were so young and we were very naive to it. And we were just like, yeah, you know, we're really enjoying it. And we were loving it and enjoying ourselves. But I think we lost a bit of artist integrity at the time, because it was just, we just went with what they said. But it's been so nice to actually be able to write. Like, writing for me was something that I loved to do before even X Factor. When I was at school, I was always sat at piano songwriting and things, and it's just really nice to actually put pen to paper this time and be able to kind of, you know, sing songs that actually mean something to us, rather than just songs that are kind of given to us and gone, oh, here's your album. Like, every song on this album has been chosen for a reason. And that's, like, was really important to us, because we didn't want an album full of songs that we just didn't particularly like. So we've sifted through hundreds, and working with the likes of kind of Ian Kerno and all people like that was just amazing, because they're just geniuses. Like, we sat there and we came up with, like, 3 songs in one day, just purely because he was such a great musician, and, you know, it just seemed like it really flowed. It was a really amazing day.
Now, you've also worked with fellow pop act Alcazar on the track Karma Karma. Who approached who on that one?
Well, we were given offered the track Karma Karma, and when it came through, it had the demo was actually Alcazar singing. And we were like, God, this sounds really good. Who is this singing it? Thinking it was like a session singer. And they said, oh, it's Alcazar that did the demo. And we were like, oh, my God, wouldn't it be amazing if the two campus, like, pop duos came together for this kind of crazy pop song? And it was just a passing comment. We were sat and having cocktails with our record label, and we said, oh, you know, try and get Alcazar on it. We thought there was no way they'd agree to that. And then 2 weeks later, we got a phone call saying, oh, yeah, you're going to be doing a Karma Karma, and it's going to be featuring Alcazar. And we just couldn't believe it. It came from nowhere, and it was all over a passing comment of us saying that they sounded great on the track. And it's been fantastic that they've been working with us. And, like, because of them working on us, we've now actually, like, we're actually charting in Sweden, which is, we haven't even, like, attempted to release there, and yet we're charting, which is crazy, but it's great.
Now, the cover of the new album is fantastic. We love the outfit, Sarah. Now, do you choose your own clothes or do you have an own stylist?
Well, we used to have a stylist, but now I tend to choose my own clothes because it's stuff that I feel more comfortable in. And I think I take a much better picture if I feel comfortable in what I'm wearing. So I do tend to pick my own clothes, although I will say the shoes in that weren't my choice. They were the record label... the creative director from our record label went out and saw the shoes, and he just picked them up and he said, I just had to get these because these are so Kylie and they're amazing and you have to have them. And I saw them straight away. I was like, oh, they're so sparkly, I want them. So I loved them.
Now, speaking of clothes, we saw some photos last year of Sean Starkers on stage in some nightclub. What was that all about?
Yeah, we performed at GAY in London. And I don't know if you've heard about it, but it's there's a notorious man called Jeremy Joseph who runs and owns GAY. Obviously, you've been.
Yeah.
And basically, Jeremy is the most persuasive man in the history of the world. And when we got on, we obviously performed our whole set. And then Jeremy came on stage and said that he would like Sean to strip for in aid of AIDS. And at the time, obviously, Sean was like, all the people in the audience going off, 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 and they were passing the bucket round to raise money, and Sean just thought, you know what, I'm going to get naked. So I left the stage at that point and let him fill his boots.
Now, you must have had the last laugh, Sarah, because, like myself, you were bullied at school, and it's bloody tough, and I can really relate to you on that front. What's your advice to people out there that have been bullied, and what do you sort of explain to them why you came through it? And
I'd say you're not like a freak if you're being bullied, and I think you automatically feel like you're a freak because people are like making you feel that way. They're always nasty and, you know, saying nasty things and doing nasty things, and you think, why are they doing this to me? There must be something wrong with me. Mm. But I should always look at it and think that the bully is the person that's a freak, because quite frankly, if you can be that nasty to someone, then at the end of the day, they're the person that's in the wrong, it's not you. And I think the most important thing for anyone out there that is being bullied is to kind of tell somebody, because the minute you've told somebody, it's a problem shared. And I know that I kept it in for so long because I was embarrassed, because I didn't want anybody to be like, oh, she's bullied, because it felt horrible. But as soon as someone told, like, I could tell somebody, it made it so much easier.
Yeah, me too, because I remember when I was at school and I didn't know I was gay and I didn't know what was happening, and people knew before I was, and they just teased me all the time, and it was so hard to take, you know? And
it is. It's the nastiest thing. And I have so much respect for people that come through bullying and kind of, you know, come out the other side as a better person, because, you know, these people, I just think it's absolutely disgusting that some people get away with it as well. And I think, like, people that are bullied tend to kind of have more of a grounding, and they understand, and I think they turn up the nicer people at the end of the day.
Hello, it's great to speak to you.
Cool. Now, let's start talking about the album. It was released in the UK on Monday, so we guess that you are in promotional mode right now. What's the reaction been like?
Do you know what? It's been brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I mean, especially from a lot of the press and the reviewers and stuff like that. I mean, with the first album, I think because, you know, people were out to get us a little bit, and it was something so different at the time, and a lot of the reviews were kind of, you know, 2 and 3 stars, and this time it's been 4 and 5. And, you know, even from people who were, you know, really against the last time, have gone, do you know what, actually these guys, you know, they've really worked hard to get themselves back out there, and I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And actually, this album is a very strong pop album, and, you know, it's ended up enough dividends, especially with the reviews. But, I mean, as I say, I mean, because we're on a smaller label this time round, you know, you can never guarantee anything. And notoriously, we've been at the act that's kind of gone in high because, you know, our fans are so 100% behind us, they get on the day, do you know what I mean? And by the end of the week, you know, in the midweek it's always good, and then it sort of drops towards the end of the week. So, I mean, we're not holding our breath yet, but so far so good. It seems to be on the rise. And I've just got a really, really good feeling about this album. And I think the reason for that is that, you know, everyone's saying that it's very good. Whereas, you know, if people liked just the last time, they didn't necessarily like the album. You know, that was generally the way that it was. But this time around, I think that everyone seems to be liking the music, you know, which is great news for us.
Now, speaking of the charts, there's been some changes in the UK charts just in the last week, that they're putting songs available online at the same time as they go to radio, which we think is a great idea. But what's your take on that, and do you think that's going to work?
I mean, I think it certainly gets things moving quicker. You know, as soon as people hear it on the radio, they can kind of go, right, I'm going to go online and purchase it right now because I want it. And what it's seems to do is, I mean, if someone records off the radio and it ends up on YouTube and someone can strip it off of YouTube, they won't bother actually going out and buying the actual record. So I think that by going to radio and going to download on the same day, it will get people downloading it quicker, and it'll be better for music. So yeah, I think that I'm all for it, I'd say.
You clearly love your fans, Sean, because you're constantly on Twitter and Facebook interacting with them. How important do you think is the social networking become in the music industry?
The fans are like the biggest part of anybody, you know. I mean, however big you are, you've always got to remember your ground and remember the people that love you. And for us, I mean, we've got the most amazing fans. And some of the, I mean, we've been to some horrendous, you know, places in the sticks in the UK and stuff like this, and they've literally followed us there, and they've come along, and they've been there front row supporting us full on, and you can't beat that, you know. And just to see some of their faces in the front row and screaming your name and stuff like that, you always find the ability to be able to perform, you know. And, I mean, the fans are the ones. I mean, that's partly the reason why we did this album for the fans, because we kind of felt that, you know, it was time for us. The UK just doesn't get pop music. We want to take it abroad. We want to go to the likes of Sweden, Japan, Australia, all these different countries, and try and take it on out, you know, in other territories. But, I mean, if it weren't for the fans in the UK that got us there in the first place, we wouldn't have that chance. So we felt that we had to get out there for them, you know?
So what's next for Same Difference? Have you got a new single coming out, new video clips you're recording, or maybe a tour? What's on the calendar for the next little while?
Well, certainly a tour of the UK. I mean, I know it's not very good to you guys, but it looks as though we're getting signed up to do a sort of up-close and personal tour. I mean, we've always gone out with sort of dancers and stuff like that, but I think this time we'd probably rather get a band together and kind of really show that these songs are great musically. From the new album, so that's certainly something that we'd love to fulfil, to actually get out there and work with a band. So that's certainly on the cards. And I think, obviously, you know, still internationally, we want to take it abroad. We want to actually go to these countries and, you know, try our luck, because I think in other countries, pop isn't a word that people automatically go, oh, I want to turn my back on it because it's not cool. And if they're pop lovers, they're pop lovers. They like pop music, and they're not ashamed to admit that. Whereas in this country, it's almost, you know, it's a shame to like pop.
Neighbours are Home and Away?
Neighbours.
good answer.
It was so tough, that one, because I like them both, to be fair.
All right, Steps or S Club 7?
Oh, it's got to be the original Steps.
Oh, good choice. Sharon Osbourne or Danny Minogue?
Danny.
You have to say
that.
All
the way, I'm sorry. She's just so lovely.
You had to say that because she's Australian.
Exactly. Do you know what? I just thought, yeah, you've got to know your audience there. But no, I genuinely would have said that. As great as Sharon is, I just think that Danny's got, you know, she's got a heart of gold, and we love her over here.
Now, Sean, do you prefer buying CDs online or actually having the physical product?
Having the product. Definitely. It's old school for me. It was all about getting, like, the childhood dream was getting the CD on the shelves. So, you know, when all of a sudden it started going digital, it kind of ruined the childhood dream for me.
and
but luckily, we got to, you know, release our album physically, and I got to see it before it started getting really digital. So we were quite lucky in that respect. I got to fulfill a childhood dream there.
Fantastic. And finally, do you wear boxers or briefs?
Boxers all the way. Briefs, I don't know. I don't know what it's like over there because it's so hot. You might, you know, not want the extra cloth. But for me, it's got to be boxers. I like to sort of, I feel a bit strangled in briefs.
Thank you so much for your time, Sean and Sarah. And we've had a fabulous time chatting with you. One last plug for the album. Tell our listeners why they should buy The Rest Is History.
The Rest Is History is for pop fans everywhere. I think, you know, if you like pop, it's going to be a perfect album for you. Whether you're getting ready to go out or whether you're actually at the party itself, it's a perfect pop album for everybody. And we would love for the Aussies to give us as much support as they possibly can.
All right, well, The Rest Is History is available now for digital download. So if you're a pop fan, it is the must-have album. All the best with the promotion this week, guys. We hope you sell shitloads of copies. And hopefully we
Thank you very much. I can't believe you said shit on air.
And hopefully we may see you in Australia sometime soon.
Do you know what? I really hope that it comes to that because I'd love to come out there. I've never actually been. So it would be absolutely amazing to see you guys.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.